Blog Talk Radio. Evening all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on July 17th. You're in for quite an interesting show. We've had some interesting guests on recently, so some big names, and we have another one coming up later on this evening. But first, I'm going to hand you over to Drake to say something.
Oh, yeah. That song has a video goes with it. It's on Facebook, on our Facebook page. I served in Nam, 67-68, Tet Offensive, in Wait. Yeah, with the Marines. Just outside the provincial capital as a blocking force in the old provincial graveyard. Yes, indeedy. It's a wonderful trip. Military does have a funny idea about camping trips, in my opinion. Any of the vets out there who care to listen might want to step up, stand up, and think about this. We need your help. I need the help of each and every last swinger out there that can put it together correctly. Now, this don't mean you got to bear arms and pull triggers, but for those of us who have, we may be called upon to become an enforcement force. If you're interested, get in touch with us and bring your weapons. This may be a shooting contest. We don't know yet as to how far it will go, but we will implement real police powers, and we will implement real incarcerations. This is coming. And I hope everybody in the political realm, the Liars Club, is paying attention to this, because if they're not, you're in for a surprise, a rather shock to the system. Got that next song, Tom?
Yes.
What?
Hi all, and welcome back to Cosmic Voice this evening, and I'm going to hand you back to Drake. He's going to give us some more info. Hello, yeah. Drake.
Hey. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, and I kind of doubt it. Most people don't. You see the mainstream media putting out their pablum puking horse hockey and horse shit and nasty crap and lies, and it gets old. And I'm a little bit upset about this shit that's going on here. You got sanctions. Obama, ooh, big bad O. Sanctions, no more new money in the U.S. Oh, whoopity friggin' do. And this is for Russia now. He wants to pick on Mr. Putin. He's after the Russian defense. Cut them off totally in the U.S. Oh, my goodness, do you realize? Hello, Halliburton and you other guys that manufacture things for the Russian military. Oops. Obama just stepped on your bottom line. You going to put up with that? Do you really believe that it is time to break it off? Do you think that you're going to get to go along and play along and come out okay? Now, Putin said it himself, stated it publicly. Oh, really? Detrimental to U.S. and U.S. large companies? Hey, I thought we was looking for jobs, Mr. Obama. Or don't you care? Or are you one of these agents that wants to bring about the ruination of a country that I happen to love? Ooh, yeah, think about it. Think about it strong. He wants to squash you, all of you, like a bug. Now, EU, the European Union. No sectorial trade and economic restrictions. Do you know what that means? It's real simple. It's not complicated other than EU banking, business as usual. We want to keep our jobs, thank you very much, Mr. U.S. President. You got a big mouth and you do a whole lot of things to your own country, but you ain't doing it to us. Now, what happens? And this is part of a Phoenix Rising situation. What happens when the oligarchs and the banks and everybody gets in a tight situation? What has happened before? You got to think about this. When did it happen before? Do you ever think about that? Everybody's heard of the Great Depression, 1933. What happened? What did the officials do to the individuals, the sovereign citizens of the United States of America? First thing they did was take away all the rights. Yeah. Every last one of them declared a national emergency. Ooh, here we go, down that primrose path. Yellow brick road, uh-huh. Speaking of yellow brick, one of the things that they did right off the bat was that all the banks called in all the loans. Ooh. Then the Fed went around absconding with things. They showed up at gunpoint and said, give me your gold, your guns, your property. Oh, my goodness. Now, think about what would happen now if they did that. Do you think there might be some return fire? I think there would be a heavy return fire. But they confiscated it at gunpoint in 1933. You think they wouldn't do it again? Do you really believe that you're not subject? Now, there's a few states that have what are called state banks. Not very many, but a few. They were smart enough to see the writing on the handwriting on the wall. They did not want to be subject to the Fed or Wall Street. And they created their own public state-level bank, immune to the Feds and immune to whatever Wall Street decides they want to do. This includes the bankers. This means they stepped outside the system a bit. What it means is they put themselves in a position where Phoenix can rise and set, and they don't care. It don't matter. You ain't going to touch this. You know, you heard that stupid song. Can't touch this? Yeah, all right. It got beat up pretty bad. I've heard through reliable sources different things going on, of which I can only partly put out, and I'm only going to put out generalities. And I'd like to have some things go on here. Ben Fulford, I'm going to contact you tomorrow, and we're going to have a little discussion about some stuff that's going on that you have no clue to. You can put it out, but you better put it out correctly. Yeah, that's right. No more of this fun and games of, my intel. Well, yeah, it's an intel source, but you can name names, mine specifically. I have put my name, my ass, and everything I am on the line. People don't realize that. they haven't come up here at gunpoint because they know I shoot back, and I'm pretty good. They know better. They don't think it would be a good deal, that the exchange would come out to their advantage. And probably they're probably right. I'd do everything in my power to show them what it feels like to be on the wrong end of weapons being fired in anger. Now, how many of you people out there are tired of being stepped on, fooled with, screwed around, and all that? How many people in this country have had enough? This is the question. And I'm going to get into this real simply. John Duresh, you're doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. You have to also use international law. Whether you realize it, agree with it or not, don't make no difference. You got to do it that way. Why? Because the sovereignty is contained within the treaties necessary to implement those specific auspices of the correct procedures involved in the international law that bring about accommodation of the things that have been so-called lacking, such as standing, etc. Now, there's one problem with all of it, and I've had freedomizers that were experts, and I mean these people did it right. They did everything correctly. They cited international law, constitution. They used Supreme Court rulings, the whole nine yards. They did it right. And the answer was, we're not going to entertain that right now. We're busy with other things. All the way to the top. And nada. And this has happened over and over and over. And I have seen a big lack. Now, Michael Henry Dunn. Great man, does a good job. He may not know everything. I don't know too many people to do. You put him and a couple of other people, such as Dr. Aiden, together, and I think that'd be a winning team. Whether they get along or not don't make no difference. You don't worry about getting along. You worry about getting the job done. You don't care who's in the foxhole with you. You just care that you're both shooting at a common enemy. We have a common enemy, and that enemy is quite simply bound and determined to eradicate our butts. Now, the first way you do that is you denigrate, you negate, you destroy the economy. Oh, I give you the Affordable Care Act, as Pelosi correctly states. You witch, it's Obamacare. Whether you like it or not, and I hope that sticks in your craw and causes you to have to eat some Tums. I don't like this. Don't like that witch either. Don't like the long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House. I don't give a shit what the guy's color is. I don't care what the guy's nationality is. I care what kind of job the person does. Irrespective as to male or female or what, don't matter. What matters is getting the damn job done. Nobody to date. Hello, Mr. Boner, Boehner, whatever you want to call yourself. I think you're a boner, a bonehead. However, you have not done your job. You, according to the Constitution, were supposed to object on constitutional grounds to all of this stuff and didn't do it. That means you didn't abide by the oath you took. You were in violation. Yeah. And everybody else that voted for that shit. Oh, we're going to need toilet paper by the end of this show. I swear we will. Japan is an oligarch extension. Anybody don't know that, don't know squat. These people have been bought. They have been stealing, mirroring the collateral accounts, as it is called. It is a falsy, and yet the illegal monetization has taken place in varying places that think it's a good idea to have all the money, all the control, and be able to play the king and ruler of the planet. They haven't really decided who that's going to be. I guarantee you Obama is not in the running. They got a bunch of people that are a lot more shrewd, a whole lot better educated, and a whole lot more actively involved in it than Obama ever will be or could be. He don't got it what it takes. They're asking for him to lead. We got a border crisis. Man, look at all these kids. And we ain't doing squat. Well, now let's see here. Don't they have governors of certain states on the border down there, and don't these governors have an obligation to the oath of office that they took to the states that they represent to secure said states by military means if necessary? Dude, all of you, and ladies included, call out the friggin' National Guard and get the friggin' job done. Do your job. Or go to jail. Yeah, that's right. There is an enforcement arm coming. And you are on the menu if you don't do your job. I don't care if you're a dog catcher. Don't matter to me. Now, what matters to me is this. getting this done right. And I mean getting it done to an extent where we don't have to worry about this crap anymore. That means we're going to have to remove a whole load of people from office. And some of them will probably object and put up a fight. Well, that's all fine, well, and good. I intend to come armed, and I'm good. And I'm a lot faster than everybody thinks, 3/5 of a second or less in my draw and fire and accurately at a distance of 50 feet. And all these other people, I would like to see spec ops. I'd like to see Navy SEALs. I'd like to see some true professionals fall in with this on the enforcement arm. Why? You need to be able to be absolutely and totally proficient with arms. And no, I don't mean all that horse hockey you see on the movies with the automatic gunfire. That wastes ammunition, as everybody knows. You can pull a trigger much more accurately one at a time than you can automatic. And I don't care who thinks different. Or you can put them all in the same little spot. Why shoot a guy 25 times when 5 will do, or 2 or 3? I mean, you stick a couple in the heart and a couple in the head, it goes down. He can beat King Kong, and he's going to fall over. Real simple. There are efforts internationally to steal from the collateral accounts. Japan is very guilty of this. They beg, borrow, and abscond with things they know they have no right to and yet do anyway. Where do you think all them billions of dollars came from that they have in their pokey? Think about it. Okay. I thought it was interesting that the United States military decided they wanted to go in and see if they could do something and got run off by the Chinese. And it was a friendly runoff. I'm sorry, but we're scheduled to fire our artillery on that island you're on. You might want to get on your boats and head for the open waters. And bingo, they started shooting. Everybody kind of didn't hear about that. Oops. Now let's get back to the Ukraine. As everybody knows, Russia accepted the Ukraine Crimean province request to rejoin the Soviet Union as it had been for hundreds of years before a certain individual in Russia gave it away. Oh, boy. Now what you got to say? Yeah, I'm talking to the head of state of the Ukraine right now. I think you're a turkey, and your goose is about to get roasted. I put out some stuff, posted it through the website. It deals with the Ukraine and a different report totally from what you're getting from mainstream media. All these lies and BS. These guys are the Ukrainian army is out of ammunition. Oops. You want to really get into it? Let's blow it away. You want to really rosin up the bow and play the fiddle hard because hell's broke loose? How about this? They're running out of ammo, food, and water. 1 liter a day? That's about a quart, guys. I want you to think about that. That's about a quart. That's one canteen of water per day. Now, here's the other problem. They've been surrounded, cordoned off, and there's a death zone. Yeah, that's right. It's kind of like a demilitarized zone where you don't go unless you want to get shot by either side. Think about being surrounded. I hear rumors, and I mean rumors, I'm not going to say that they're absolute truth, but that's from a captured communication with a man and his commander. Ooh, how about let's add something to it? There's rumors going around in the Ukrainian military that they're getting tired of being told to go out and expend themselves against their own people. You mean they're finally waking up? Oh, goody. How about we just jump up and down and go, yeah, I agree. Think about it. What would you do if somebody started shooting at you in your backyard? Now, I carry a gun. I pull mine out and answer. You might have to run into the house and get yours. But let's look at the Palestinian situation. What would you do if somebody come in and said, we're putting a country in the middle of your cornfield, whether you like it or not? We don't give a shit what you think of it. It's happening. We, and that's a group of nations, decided it shall be so because we are not going to take the Jews and Jewish state within our own countries. Now, I got this big one big question. Why the hell not? Everybody turned them away. There was boatloads ready to go out at sea. They're running out of food and water just like the Ukrainian military is. Uh-huh. Think about this. They're talking. The Ukrainian military is talking about taking over. And it would not necessarily be a bad idea if, and there's conditions on this, you want to abide by the simplistic laws that govern human nature in terms of you don't go out of your way stomping people out. That's first. Number two, especially your own people. Number three, go in with reparations. Reinitiate the electricity and the water supply. Quit shelling hospitals and places of that nature. I would suggest and strongly suggest you don't shoot at Russia anymore. That's about as stupid as it gets. And why do you think there's 12,000 commandos, not just regular troops, commandos on your border? Putin's pissed. And so is a lot of the Russian people who are involved in all this. You have taken away the lives, the very, very orientations of an anchorage. You know, it's like my place, my house, my town, my area. I live here. And you blew it up. Just because some dink from a central bank says it's got to be like that. And he's a dink. Yeah, you heard me, Mr. President of the Ukraine. I think you're worse than the crook that was in there in the first place. That's my personal opinion. We need to get somebody who don't give a shit. Now, and this is in the Ukraine. Now I'm talking about the Ukraine. Don't get confused about Ukraine and the U.S. But they both apply equally. Here's how: we need people in office. Yeah. We need a certain amount of them. We don't need the humongous load that we got now. We do not all need all these dingleberries up there playing games with our lives through legislating laws that they don't understand and are not affected by. Yeah, they all opted out of Obamacare. That's our thing now. In the Ukraine, maybe if we picked a stupid farmer. One, it was so honest, he squeaks when he walks, but a guy that doesn't have to be educated. and you see, there is a simplicity to this. You do not want a military regime. You don't want that in Egypt. You don't want it here in the States. You don't want it in the Ukraine. You don't need it anywhere. The military is to preserve the country, the state that you are a part of. It's to defend it against people from the outside who would tear it apart, come in and take everything away. And the central bank's been doing that for years. Look at South America. They depleted that. Now they're starting on Africa. And these people ain't got the intelligence to see this coming. Ooh, Petro Poroshenko, my goodness. And I guess he's a president. We got a president, too. Now, here's our problem, and this is ours. This is here. Our country is at critical mass. We cannot take too much more of this stuff. Now, I'm informed that within the next couple of weeks, we're going to see some kind of actions being taken. I got no idea if it's going to be the kind of action everybody's been looking for. I really don't. But there are things dang it. My typing sucks. There are things that are taking place nobody knows about. We're doing this behind the scenes in conjunction with some of the other things necessary. One of the things necessary is to be able to put this together in such a manner that there's no wiggle room. Now, the way to do that, and this is very simple, it goes to finance. Why? Oh, God, here goes to finance again. Here's very simple. If somebody took all your money, oh, where would you be? How long would it take you to be put out of your house? You have to understand that there is not going to be an easy way out on this. You have to understand that this is not going to be something that is going to be necessarily peaceful. oh, the law and all this is a good thing. It's nice. So long as both sides agree to it, it's great. If they don't, it's nothing more than a piece of paper that you can make an airplane out of and toss out the window, see how far it floats, or wipe your butt with it, or however you want to look at this. Now, each and every last one of these politicians that we've got today in our offices that are supposed to represent us have stipulated very clearly that the Constitution, the very foundation of our country, is nothing more than butt wipe, a dead article, an antique, needs to be overhauled. It's got to be clarified by the Supreme Court. Horse hockey. The Supreme Court, you ain't got the right. How about that? How's that grab you? I hope it makes your underwear seize up. Now, what is it that anybody can do? Very simply, when this is put together correctly, all right, and I mean put together correctly, the situation is going to be this. And this is something that these people hate the idea of, and that's us. And that is that we're going to have our own court system. Now, that's going to be operated within the parameters of the Constitution in conjunction with international law. And we're going to have an enforcement arm. And we're going to have a place to put these turkeys. Ah, yeah. We need a little bitty doggy box with the bars to put them in. Now, they built a whole bunch of FEMA camps. I suggest we use those, and I suggest that we take the screens off the windows. If this is placed in certain places, specifically tropical locations, I suggest that we make damn sure that the windows are open and that they can't be closed by the turkeys inside. I want them to get ate up by mosquitoes and bugs and things that crawl in the window. Why? Well, you sent me to Vietnam. I volunteered because I thought I was doing something right. I didn't know how wrong it was. I didn't know how screwed up it was going to make me either. And nobody did. Look at all these guys that you got that went over. They thought they had it. They thought they had it made. They served their country in the reserves and be safe. And now all of a sudden they decided, well, we don't have a standing military that's capable because they're a bunch of friggin' idiots. How about we use the people that are not idiots that are out there, businessmen and all this, running things anyway, know what to do. How about we send the reserves? Oh, call up the National Guard. Send them over there. Let's throw them into Afghanistan, Iraq, and anything else we can find that might be inconvenient for us to be there. Yeah. Okay, let's expend their youth. That's right. All that humping that equipment up and down them mountains, all that stuff slogging through jungles, yeah, it eats your youth. It takes your strength. I mean, uses it, burns it up. I've seen great big muscly people come in, and by the time they were ready to go, they're skinny like everybody else. It uses up your conscience. First time you pull that trigger, it's gone. Everything that you knew about yourself that's supposed to be good and honest and true went with that one little pull of the finger on that trigger, and that thing fired, and the target fell over, and you're done. From that point on, combat ready. Oh, boy, you're ready to kill. You turn off your conscience so that little voice at the back isn't screaming at you, and you just pull the trigger. You don't much care what the target is in a lot of cases. Sometimes it's civilians. Oh, yeah, this happens on all battlefields. Just about every one of them. I never did. I made damn sure I never did. I couldn't live with myself if I did that. Somebody shoot at me, that's different. Then they become a distinct target. Then it's a situation in terms of preservation. Which is better, me or that? Well, find out quick. Pull the trigger fast. Real simple. It's not difficult. Then you got the fun and games of remembering. And there's way too many people out there remembering. That's what the suicides are about. That's first and foremost. And it won't leave you alone. You hear this little voice whispering, hey, man, you ought to kill that sucker. Look at the way it looked at you. All the time. Not once or twice, all the time. You see, everybody but you and your combat fellows are outside. They are outsiders. That's how come you come in as a as a friggin' cherry. You get your cherry popped eventually. You become a old-timer. You become the guy who makes that decision as to whether or not you accept somebody and take them under your wing and keep them from killing themselves through not knowing what to do or how to go about it or where to stand or, you know, all of it. You teach them. Why? No particular reason. But you get this situation here that is no longer tenable. We can't keep this horse hockey going. It just gets worse. Basically, what we need to do is rise up the boat and play the fiddle hard. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, if, and you've heard a lot of this before, if there's some people out there that got the guts and the set of kahunas that goes along with it, I'm waiting. No, I'm not going to give you my email address. You contact us correctly through the radio station, and we will respond correctly. I responded to a bunch of them, found out all but one or two were maybes, sunshine soldiers. Oh, I got to consider this and that and that to that. Well, okay, here's how it is. I don't care about it. What I care about is getting this job done. We are at a position where we need to set this up now, not later, not down the line. We ain't got time for all this. We do not have the luxury of waiting until such time as something explodes or they all come after us or martial law is declared. Now, I'm understanding that the military is pretty ragged off at Obama, big time. I'd love to see, and they're supposedly ready. Oh, and I did some checking, too, outside of the norm with some people. Come to find out that militias all over the country, one in each state, are more than ready. Might only be a half a dozen of them, might be several hundred, might be thousands. They're ready. Not as ready as they really would like to be, but they're ready enough. What's 3% of 300 million? 6 million? Guarantee you we got that many. Now, anybody out there that would like to have a combination of tactical training as well as physical training that goes along with it and the proficient use of firearms needs to get in touch with a local militia. And it might take you a little while to get introduced correctly. But keep going to the gun range. Show that you can shoot that thing. It's not difficult to understand. Now, the best thing to do is go to a range that allows you to try out varying calibers of guns, varying styles. You got the automatic, you got the simple rotary magazine revolver. Pick one. Then pick a caliber that you're best suited to, most comfortable with. Some people can't handle a .45. They don't know what to do with it. They pull the trigger and the friggin' gun points at the friggin' stars. No, that's not a person that's efficient with it. I personally use a .40 caliber, and I can hold it down. It don't jump any more than it would if you were using a 9mm automatic, very common gun. The military uses it because it does not give a recoil sufficient to pop you off the target. The one I got don't care. It just blows something away. You can use a 12-gauge. That's fine for home defense. Double-aught bucks preferable. I would suggest you get some deer slugs. You'd be amazed what that does for a guy's composition, whether he's got body armor on or not. If you shoot the boy in the chest with it when he comes in saying, "I'm God and thou shalt bow down right now, give up your weapons," you blow him into about four other ones right off the porch. If need be, if the police show up at your door, grab a gun. Ask them if they got a warrant and what they're doing there. What do you want? It's real simple. It's not difficult. They do tell you what they're there for. We're seeking a person of interest. I see. And do they have this address? Yes, according to our information, they do. I said, what's the name? Da-da-da-da-da. That ain't me, and he don't live here, and you ain't coming in unless you got a warrant to do so. Now, there's a lot of things that goes into this. You can get funky, you can play the game, you can start a war, up to you. However, I'm going to say this again. We got a militarized police force. They're getting weapons that the military doesn't want to keep because of the maintenance involved. It's too expensive to have it sit on the shelf. They're putting these things out so that they think they can call on the local police to go after people. They think that they would better stand up to a group of people with all this armament than they would if they didn't have the armament. Just that simple. What the police don't realize, and this is something that's been out for a while, long time, I put it out when we first started this stuff, that is that they are to be sacrificed. I hope the police are listening, and I hope they spread this wide and far, because that's what it calls for. That's the plan by the bad guys. They're going to sacrifice your butts, dead boys, and anybody else that gets in the way that tries to uphold the law, so that they can declare martial law and supposedly come in and say, "I'm God, thou shalt bow down, or off with your head." Which is it? Yeah, right. Well, let's make them a deal they can't refuse. Yeah, that's right, Godfather horse hockey. let's put this in perspective. Let's put it into the realm of reality that they don't want. We're going to need court clerks. Court clerks. We're going to need bondsmen. We're going to need bailiffs. We're going to need people who don't mind handling stenography. Oh, it's going to be recorded, but it's also going to have to be annotated into written form and signed by the judge, among other things. This is going to be done right. Now, there's some other things. These courts will not be limited to just the U.S. I want you to think about that. Some dingleberry buttwipe decides he wants to try to escape, and he feels that the United States is the only safe place for him to go. Oh, welcome him. They will. He'll come right on in. He'll land that airplane and think he's safe. And then all of a sudden, when you least expect it, somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hi, you're on candid camera. Guess what? Your butt's going in the pokey." Think about it. You show up with the cuffs and the firepower necessary to back it up. I would hope, and I really do hope, that the people involved, federal marshals, FBI, Secret Service, understand that this will be done correctly. There is no intent to take somebody out and use them as a Christmas ornament on the nearest tree. That's not it. These people will be put to the task of being held for charges of actions against the basis of our country. Now, that is a treasonable offense. Depending on how far that reaches, depending on the number of dead, depending on what transpired because they did this or that, will depend upon whether or not their violation of that is a capital offense. I do expect there to be a considerable number of executions. I really do. I tell you what, we'll commute your death by firing squad to life imprisonment if you tell us what's going on, what you did, how you did it, where it was done, and who you did it with and to. There you go. Yeah. You want to keep breathing, or do you want to just end it all? There's going to be a bunch of them say, F you, I don't care, hang me, shoot me, it doesn't matter. There's going to be a bunch of those. Just like you're going to have a bunch of people turn around right now and say, "Drake's gone off his nut. The boy has decided that the people can actually come up and arrest somebody and transport them and do it legally. Oh, look at the laws he's violated." What laws? Why do you think those laws are in place? So that the citizenry cannot exercise that Second Amendment right. That's why. Now, I'm going to give you something here. You're going to like this. The group is going to be called the 279 Team. We won't back up. We will not give quarter to those who oppose us. If you decide that you're going to be nasty, would take you by force. If need be, I would like to see, and this is up to the individuals involved. If somebody's hiding out in a federal building, we're going to need the firepower and personnel necessary to take control of it and take that individual out of there, preferably with the least amount of harm, blood, guts, death, etc., as possible. I would like to do this peaceably. I would hope that there aren't too many that are so stupid that they want to take on the United States military and or veterans thereof in a gunfight or whatever kind of resistance they might want to offer. I would hope that they're not that stupid, but there are a lot of oligarchs there that feel that they are untouchable. Their stuff don't stink when they go to the bathroom. Yeah, I mean, I hope you're getting this. Recently, now and this is very recent. This is not hot news, but it's recent. I want you to notice something. Congress put forth a subpoena, and somebody said that these dingleberries that advise people are immune. That came through the Justice Department somewhere. Whoever the idiot was that did that, he'd be going to jail. We'll find out who it was. I'd like to see Valerie Jarrett behind bars. Put her in with Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, and you'll have some kind of catfight eventually. Alpha females, three of them in the same room. Ooh, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. Hey, well, two of them will gang up on one, take that one out of commission, and then the other two will fight it out. And I want the video. That ought to be interesting. He's going to be ripping all our clothes off and going at it. I'm not as such a fully vengeful person until you tell me that the righteousness of loyalty, honor, integrity, and things of that nature is horse hockey. When you start telling me that, the bristles on my neck stand up. I fully question, publicly right here, right now, and I answer back if they got the guts, they want to address this. I don't think you got the guts to stand up for what's right. I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting. I'm not sure that you want to do the second war after you already did a first one. Yeah, that's right. The guys from Nam are kind of old. 75 was a long time ago. As the last ones came out, I was 67, 68. I was well before that. Yeah, old farts. Well, do you have command capability? Can you orchestrate things? Can you train? I mean, I'd like to see some of these people that instructed combat readiness. I would like to see these people stand up. An instructor can lead a battalion. I feel, personally, that we're going to need probably anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 people total. Now, this is after things start and after it gets growing. From the get-go, I'd like to see at least 200-300. 200-300 people, that's right. And, yes, I have managed groups of people that large and bigger. My tactics are extraordinarily simple and something that most won't expect. Now, you know, there's a lot of different silly ways to subjugate security. All of these people that I'm addressing know this. Now, spec ops, I'm looking for you, spec ops. You're only one part. SEAL teams? Is there a team out there? Is there somebody out there who would be interested in actually taking back our country? I think that you might want to consider this. Now, we'll bring Neil Keenan into this just a hair. The ideology is that the military can get a paycheck after these people are taken down if they're willing to abide by the conditions that will be offered. You won't always be carrying a weapon. That ain't a bad deal. There won't be the necessity for the animosity between differing countries, and there won't be a need for animosity or contest between military forces. Why? Well, it's very simple. When this goes down, so do a whole bunch of other countries. And believe me, if your currency goes to zero, what are you going to do? Well, think about that. That stuff you got in your pocket, you know, well, at least I got a little roller butt wipe with me. Seriously, it's worth more than butt wipe. Not a lot, but more. It's very special paper. The people have stipulated in all of the countries that have decided that being free is best, that this is the best way to go. Now, everybody and their mother-in-law is waiting on us. That's you and me and whomever else decides to join up with this. And you know you're not joining something that's going to be, how shall I say this, publicly open until it's too friggin' late. There's about a half a dozen people that need to be taken, that in my estimation at this point, that will let everybody know what the situation is and that we might be coming for you next. Now, Neil has stipulated that only use for the funding from the collateral accounts is for humanitarian purposes. I agree with that. Thus, the funding that we're looking at in terms of implementing the enforcement and detainment and courts and all that, it's being worked on as we speak. And there's some high-level people involved, and I think that it will be become a reality. Now, here's the other part. Even if somebody don't like it, even if it don't get funded, I would like to put together some people who are capable of traveling around this country for the specific purpose of taking these people into custody anyway. There are places that only a few know about, even where I live, that these people could be held. Now, I want you to think about that real close. It don't take much of nothing to put together something that is capable of holding a person. And no, it won't have the it won't have the country club accommodations of some of these places, but it won't be something that will be totally detrimental to their health necessarily. If they've got health issues that can be taken care of, we can accommodate that. There are ways and means to acquiring things as they are needed, when they are needed. The old-fashioned statement, where'd you get that? I liberated it, sir. Oh, liberating something means that you took it out of one control and put it under another. You took it out off the shelf and put it to use. Yeah, some people call it stealing, theft, nasty, whatever you want to. It don't matter to me. I don't really care. I guess from what I'm reading, I guess Neil's changing diapers. I'd love to see the boy get on here. I don't guess he would. But the fun and games is continuing. I'm getting little notes here and there from a whole bunch of people, Michael Henry Dunn and others that stipulate certain things. The good doctor's listening, and I'm glad he is. I don't intend to lay down and roll over. I think this the idea of born in America, spend my whole life covered up, is bullshit. Well, they're going to drop a bomb on you? I mean, this one captain I had decided he wanted to read me the riot act, and he did, and I said, yes, sir. Now, what the hell are you going to do, shoot me? Send me back to Vietnam? What's your answer to this? I mean, you give me an Article 15, you better watch your mouth. I said, dude, send me back to Vietnam. I'd rather serve another 6 months there than put up with the bullshit around here. He didn't like that answer. So I got a heavy Article 15. I got a stack of that shit. I don't take well to authority that is unreasonable. I don't take, and due to that, I intend to exercise authority in the correct manner. And I'm talking about a correct combination of both military and humanitarian manner. No kids, no women. Men are on the shooting block. Remember that. If you don't, see the movie The Professional. It'll open your eyes to some things. But what you got to remember here is that the military is ready. I hear rumors about that. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to give that part out at all. But one of the main stipulations I keep hearing, and this comes from just about every authoritarian source there is, that we have to clean up our own mess first. So, the situation is very simple. Remember, several people have been on this show, one point or another, and they don't believe that there's a white knight, a knight in shining armor or riding a white horse going to come over the hilltop and save us all, that the military is going to step in and do it for you. What are you going to do if that ain't the case? What are you going to do if you're on your own and we got to do this ourselves? Okay, here it is. I can be a mouthpiece. I know some of what's going on well enough to apply it. I'm not the dumb hick that I pretend to be, but some people don't know that, and that's fine. So, if somebody out there has funds that they would like to invest in this effort, think about doing it. If somebody's got something they would like to invest in terms of manpower, think about it. Better yet, how about contact us? I got some numbers in mind. I know some places that I can already stipulate that people could use the employment. And I know some people that are very loyal. Blood's thicker than water, and then you want to take that the next step. Patriotism means something. That's one of the reasons I moved up here. You are first a patriot to yourself and your family. You husband the land you own. And you don't really own it anyway. Everybody agrees on that. You take care of business in a forthright manner. You pay somebody some kind of decent money. You take care of business in terms of doing business, not with just one particular company, but several, so that everybody shares in what you got to spend. You do things right. You make sure that you try to make sure that everybody gets a shot. Everybody has a little piece of the pie. You got to make sure that this is equitable. And the equity is found in taking care of individuals that are less fortunate than you in some ways, or have expertise you don't that you're looking to hire, or just simply helping somebody. And I don't mean a hand out, I mean a hand up. Sure, if somebody can't afford to eat, take them a meal. I mean, you know, it ain't gonna break the bank if you get a jug of chicken and take it to somebody who don't have the money to eat on, and tell them they can pay you back when they get on their feet by making you a nice meal. No big deal. A lot of people go against things. I'm going against the cabal. This is Neil and I agree totally on that. They need to come down. We need to take the oligarchs out of their position so that they can no longer screw with us and mess up our lives, cause our kids not to get educated, cause people to have to move away from areas that they have decided to destroy. Yeah. Remember that? The Great White Ghetto, that article I put out? That's very comprehensive and very accurate. I did some checking on that before I published it. It comes from a what some people would consider a rag in terms of a magazine, but not entirely, obviously. So what we have to understand is you have to first take them out economically. Instilling fear in them by taking a half a dozen people as an example would be one way to let them know that we're coming. It might not be today, but who knows what hour of the night we're going to show up in the bedroom with a gun up their nose. Come with me. You know, you see the fat dude standing there with the cowboy hat on and the mirrored shades going, you're in a heap of trouble now, boy. This is what I want to be able to say to certain people. There's some people that, although they say it, they portray themselves as women, may not be totally feminine. So, you know, anyway, enough of my diatribe and talking. We're at the top of the hour, and I see Tom's typing something into me. Oh, he just laid his pencil down. Tom, we got some music?
Yes, we do, Drake. thanks for that. Joining us in the second hour and third hour as Britain's original James Bond character, Peter Eyre. He's going to have a lot of interesting things to say. And also possibly Neil, though he may be sidetracked, but his partner, business partner, will be on as well to give us an update on that. And I've got that song for you, Drake. There you go. We'll be back shortly. Bye for now.
A young man and you're eager to seek, only to let the world know what you see. The lesson learned is not taught in a school. You have to start out first by being the fool. But I see you changing. It happens every day. Your manager, he's home and working away to keep you on the road and a move from day to day. But I see changes.
Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour with me and Drake. And we've got two people joining us, the long return, after 9 months, believe it or not, of Mr. Peter Eyre. And Rob, who is Neil's partner, working partner for the K-Team, he'll be joining us to give us some updates as well. Drake, do you want to say something quick before I bring the both of them on?
Yeah, well, welcome everybody. We ought to have a you know, get together and bust out the bottle and pass it around.
Well, Peter, are you there,
yes,
sir?
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah, good evening for us and good morning. It's Friday for you, isn't it? You're a day yeah. ahead of us. So, how's things?
Pretty good till I woke up this morning very early. I don't know. I have some little miracles happen to me on a regular basis. And one was to wake up early this morning for some reason to the news that Malaysian 17 has been missiled over Ukraine. And quite clearly, after my investigations in the time available since the early hours, is a classic false flag.
Yes, oh, it certainly is. Yes, we're hearing all kinds of different details now. Possibly it wasn't that plane that they're talking about, but we'll see. No doubt we'll hear a lot more in the days ahead. Let me just check if Rob's still with us. No, we've lost... Oh, yeah, he is. Right, I'm just going to introduce Rob, and then I'll come back to you, Peter. Rob, are you there?
Yes. Yes, Thomas.
Can you...
Hi, Rob.
Can you tell our listeners what your role is and your involvement with Neil, please?
My role is to support Neil in any possible way that I can. Our relationship developed over the past several months, and I'm here on the front line with the man because this is it. I believe we're right at ground zero. And what we do here, I think, is critical. The things that are developing, Peter mentioned, you know, this recent airline crash. Coming here to Jakarta, you can feel what's happening, but sense that everything that is developing is related specifically to the cabal's attempt to to get their hands on the assets so that they can continue to survive. Yeah, and Neil is with me as well, so...
Hi, Neil.
I just want to hear Peter's voice and don't pass it in the bottle.
Hey, Rob, you've got a parrot on your shoulder.
Yes. or an angel. You know, actually,
hey,
I feel like I've got an angel on my shoulder, and that's one of the things too that I did want to mention is that being here working with Neil, he's an incredible man, and each, you know, the situation changes at such a rapid rate too, but to see how he's able to process the information that's coming in. An amazing, you know, an experience, you know. So, but Peter, you know, just to bring this up too, I wanted to say, you know, you and I shared a similar experience where coming over here, I had dental problem, you know, a problem with one of my lower teeth, and so we have the same dentist.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Rob, I know this is getting off the topic, but when they did dental work in Jakarta, did they make a mistake and go up your nose? Because you've got a plaster on there, it looks a bit ominous.
Oh, I sleep with these. They're called breathe rights.
All right.
And, yeah, they actually help with my my snoring and breathing at night.
You can tell Mr. Neil Keenan it'd be better if he repositioned the camera from being at a 45-degree angle under your nose and put it more in front. He's a bit amateur on the media side, as you know, so I'm just trying to... That's getting better. Move the camera around, because it's bad to have backlight. Come on, guys, get your act together.
What the hell are you crazy? I'm sitting in the sofa. I'm far away. I'm not doing anything.
Hey, Drake, I don't know whether I told you, and Thomas and Rob can hear this as well. That man in Jakarta, because I've sat where Rob's sitting right now, even goes to in the shower with his Panama hat on, and that's ridiculous.
Okay, Rob.
Right.
Pete, you realize you got to get us a picture, Rob.
Yeah.
How we doing now?
Yeah, be discreet. Be stuff.
It's better.
Right. Peter, the last time you were on, which was October last year, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You mentioned you had a fairly high-profile case in London ongoing. Can you refresh us for the benefit of the listeners and the new members and also the current status of it, please?
Yeah, well, of course, before I could only touch a little bit on the topic because it is live and still current. My court case is at the Royal Courts of Justice in London, one of the highest courts in the world. And unfortunately, as we all know, the New World Order, the cabal, control the judiciary system. And the true axis of evil is the area called Temple in London, London being an independent sovereign state. Yes. And of course, London and that particular area acts as the administrative center, politically, administratively and financially for the New World Order, centered on Chancery Lane. And I know the area inside out. I used to go there sometimes three times a week. The case has been going on for, it's now in the fifth year. And in reality, if this case ever went public, which it won't, because the cabal control the media, but if ever it went public, it would have to be one of the greatest cases ever seen on this planet, involving massive international fraud right up to presidential and prime minister level, illegal purchase of South African nukes that were made between a joint venture between the Israelis and the South African government. They made 10 battlefield-ready nukes. They test-fired one, and the 9 remaining were going to be sent to Chicago for dismantling, prior to the blacks taking over South Africa. Maggie Thatcher, in all the wisdom, decided to purchase, with taxpayers' money, 3 nuclear weapons ready to go from South Africa. They were shipped from Pelindaba, the nuclear facility, via Durban to Trutjeloman, where they were transferred without security, were put into a private sector compound without security. John Breedenkamp was the Jewish Rhodesian arms dealer. Those weapons were re-stolen by John Breedenkamp and his coons and were shipped, believe it or not, to Iraq, where they were eventually moved, all 3, in 3 separate ambulances with a special cradle and moved into Syria, where they were sold on the black market. That is why we went to war with Iraq. And Afghanistan, of course, not to mention the chemical and biological warfare weapons that were provided by, quote, by America, United Kingdom, directly to its ally, quote, Saddam Hussein. And those weapons, I have all the details, the ID of them, the technical name, where they were stored, and pictures of them in the facility prior to the special forces blowing them up. So that's one aspect of the case. It also extends into the loss of an RAF Chinook helicopter, Black Ops, flying from Belfast Airport to Scotland, which crashed into the hillside of the Mull of Kintyre under very suspicious circumstances. On board that helicopter were 4 of Britain's RAF best pilots, Black Ops crew, and 25 VIP passengers, consisting of MI5, MI6, senior military, and senior Northern Ireland police. And this aircraft, I reinvestigated the case, being an aviation expert, and there was no way in the world that this was pilot error or anything along the lines that the inquiry first came out with. A second inquiry was initiated. I gave evidence to Lord Philip for that inquiry, and that was never used. And consequently, since then, they've paid all the relatives off with an out-of-court $500,000 each to shut them up. I tried to speak to the skipper of the helicopter's father, who was interested in talking to me at first, but then when he heard what I had to say, quickly put me off the phone and said I must contact the Board of Inquiry, Lord Philip, which I did. Just for your information, there was another Chinook around at the time, despite the government in London saying there was only this one Chinook flying. They was also flying at the same time a United States Chinook Navy SEALs helicopter, which flew to the same destination but dog-legged out the way to allow the RAF Chinook to go ahead of it. And I also got a report from witnesses to that situation. I challenged the government on their account. I also had a tip-off from someone that knew the person that did the autopsy that said, quote, the passengers did not die from multiple injuries associated with the high-speed impact, but from, quote, gunshot wounds to the head. All those VIPs were assassinated. And so this is all part and parcel of the case, not to mention the pedophilia. Come on, guys, if this got into the media, my street would be full of satellite dishes for a year, yeah. And it's all covered up. So just to finalise, Thomas, we were defendants on this case. Everybody, including Google US, Google UK, were involved in it. Some Palestinian people were involved in it. They all dropped by the wayside, by out of court or whatever. But myself and Gordon Bowden, the other co-defendant, took on the hierarchy, the cabal, on common law. We fought this all the way at tremendous expense and distress to us, not counting the threats that have gone with it. And we've now gone from being a defendant to turning it round and proving that we were right and it wasn't telling lies against the third party involved, which, quote, was a female spy, a female James Bond, if you want to put it that way. And we've now turned it round into being complainants ourselves with a counterclaim. And to this day, they are just slowing it down and it still hasn't gone public. I'm sure all your listeners and Neil would agree this has got to be the biggest case of all time. Back to you.
Yes, I agree, Peter. Peter, you've got an extensive knowledge of the New World Order. Now, everyone's kind of familiar with the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers and the Bushes, etc. But who are some of the ones more sinister behind the scenes as such?
Well, I could go back in time when I was doing some work. Well, first of all, I went to Vietnam like Drake, but I wasn't in the war. I was British and British weren't in there, or so they say. Yeah. But I can assure you I was there during the war and sailed up the Mekong from Van Tau up to Saigon, as it was called then. And I know that the British, as usual, the West totally, were involved stirring up what we now know is a false flag, which started it, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And so Drake and many other people put their lives on the line, etc., etc. What I'm trying to say here is that this is cabal, you know, wars, going right back to Napoleonic days. The Rothschilds have been behind it. But let's go back further to about 1112, when the Magna Carta was signed in the UK by King John, and when he actually carried out an act of treason in signing the Magna Carta and duly signing over England to Rome, but not the Rome as in the Pope Rome. Behind the Pope, of course, is this evil and satanic organisation called the Jesuits. So if we come back to London again, London is the true axis of evil, centred on Temple, where the Knights Templar operated from in the Crusades. I've got first-hand information on this. The reason my interest is in this is because I come from a long line of noble people, not now, but I have at least 7 relatives that were knights. Some of those knights took part in the Crusades and the Battle of Agincourt, etc., etc. And then during the Civil War in England, we lost everything. But it still doesn't alter the fact that I'm from that bloodline.
Yes.
And because of that, I follow it through. So if one can imagine that when the Magna Carta was signed, he signed England over to Rome, i.e. the Jesuits, whatever you want to call it, the supreme commanders. And in doing that, that also meant that any country that England overtook would then become part of that same deal and be under the control through London to Rome. And that, of course, includes the US, Canada, and all the Commonwealth countries.
Yes.
In other words, your constitution and your Bill of Rights is worth jack shit.
Exactly.
And incidentally, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, was actually signed by members of the Illuminati. So the deal between England and America was signed by their own people. So here we go again. You know, back to you. I've done enough verbal diarrhea. Maybe Rob should say something. He's taken the plaster off his nose now so he can breathe.
Rob, can you give us any updates on what's going on with either NALU or anything to do with the financial issues?
I could do that, I suppose, but one of the things that I want to say is that when we went down for breakfast this morning, seeing the television and this Flight 298, the wreckage, I think that what really needs to happen is people have to take whatever is coming through from the media and put two and two together. Today we saw what a real plane crash wreckage looks like, and so I guess if I want to say one thing with absolute clarity and passion is that 9/11 was an inside job, okay?
Yes.
And the JFK assassination was anything what we were told it was.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's how I really got the JFK assassination was my opening down the rabbit hole. All right, I had a business trip that I was supposed to attend in Dallas, and it was right around the anniversary of JFK's assassination, and I went online because I wanted to just find out a little bit more about that, you know?
Yes.
Peter mentioned, you know, having been in, you know, Vietnam, and Drake, you know, being a Vietnam veteran. Well, I'm just on the tail end of that. I'm a tail end baby boomer, so... The whole JFK assassination, was a very significant thing in the perception of my generation. And so I went to Dallas after having, you know, been online and done some extensive investigation. And if one looks really in-depth into that, it will lead both backwards and forwards into the areas that Peter just mentioned. It's all connected.
Yes.
And that's really what needs to be conveyed to people, is that the mainstream media has done an incredible job of suppressing and obfuscating the truth from not only the American people, but the world itself. And even here in Indonesia, there are things about the Japanese invasion of China, the rape and pillage of Nanking, that has been totally kept from the people here. And you know, the interesting thing too about the global accounts is that this is something that is absolutely new to millions of people, that we in the West have been deliberately shut off from the truth and knowing about the huge disparity between the gold holdings of Asia versus the gold that was used to set up the central banking system, in the West. And so I think the most important thing is for people to look deeper into the real truth behind our collective history.
I tend to think anyone coming into it new now is it's a bit too late, but they can get on the wrong, because it takes years of research to get anywhere near up to Peter's level or Drake's level, there's a lot of people who have come in the last 12 months, 2 years with Drake, and they've had a massive learning curve.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why we're trying to include a little bit of history in some of the posts, because that's what people don't realize. If you don't understand,
point, yeah.
As a starting point, sure, and also as a catalyst, for people to open their minds to the fact that, there is a, we've been lied to.
There isn't much truth that's being told on so many levels.
There's so much that's being hidden from us, and that's why people like Karen Hutter's need to be exposed so that the people can't get fooled. What was it that George Bush said? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I won't get fooled again. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
But
So
people do need to look into history, otherwise they can get fooled. We need to know that we've been lied to and how we've been lied to, and the media is intensifying the pressure as the truth of our hidden history becomes more and more exposed, as people find out that yes, Vietnam, was there was a false flag involved at the Gulf of Tonkin.
Pearl Harbor.
Sure.
The list goes on and on.
It's all coming out. It's all coming out now. This World War II, the Japanese, bombing of Pearl Harbor. Well, number one, they were pushed into that situation, and number two, it was prearranged.
Yes.
We go back into the history with the Emperor Hirohito. He was the first guy that left, the first emperor to leave Japan in 1921. Peter, you know this. He came and he met with King George V, and they arranged the war.
Yeah.
Neo has done so much to expose the fact that not only was are the wars prearranged, they're financed by the same people.
Yeah.
And this is what the cabal is desperately afraid of, because if the truth of our history is fully exposed, the people that have suffered, lost aunts, uncles, children, boys, girls, bombs, civilians, if they understood the machinations, that have gone behind all of this from the beginning of our known history,
yes,
there'd be people who go berserk. They go wild. They're afraid of this, the truth.
Yeah.
The truth shall set you free, but it also, a lot of people can't handle the truth. Well, it's time if we don't handle it.
That is a big problem. It's the psychological problem that people have been corralled into thinking the same way and also not thinking at all, And we have lots of the members who are saying all the family members or all the friends all think they're nuts because they're telling the truth, it's very difficult for people to accept that suddenly they're being isolated. But even if you're only in a minority of one, it's still the truth, and stick to it. know, and it's difficult. I know that. I've lost most of my family through the same thing. But you have to stay strong and stay true to the cause to go forward.
But we're finding who our true family is.
Yes.
The truth is almost traumatic for people to accept. And
yeah.
But we're talking about layers and years and decades of conditioning, you know, over the collective, consciousness superimposed over the real truth.
Yes.
Weapons of mass deception.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And as a matter of fact, in our post, you know, that's coming out shortly, hopefully today, along with a video, that's what's mentioned. You know, and again, you know. Not only is it important for us to bring up certain elements of our past true history, but also to reiterate the fact that the deception has been deliberate. Mm. You see, what I get impassioned about is the fact that we the people, have been, the wool has been pulled over our eyes. And it's been a deliberate thing. You know, if someone tells you something, you know, out of not knowing the truth or ignorance, you know, that's one thing. But the mass deception has been something that has been perpetrated on all of humanity to serve a select few.
Yes.
Now, that's just not right. So fundamentally, it really is a matter of the good guys versus the bad guys. And again, the good guys on the surface seem to have all the advantages. But you know what?
They don't.
The truth is true, okay? And it's that which is going to bring down the cabal, okay? Plus, choking them out financially. That, you know, if you want to talk about financial matters, even to whatever extent the deception goes, because depending upon who you talk to, who's done the extensive research into, you know, the history of mankind and the cabal and the mechanisms of control that have been put in place, fundamentally, even if it gets in, you know, off planet, you still need money in order to make things work and operate. So what I'm doing here with Neil is supporting this man who is protecting real gold, you know, real assets that the fiat fake cabal monetary system is trying to resurrect itself, replenish itself, and they desperately want to get their hands on those assets. Plus. Because the accounts have been mirrored, they also want to get their hands on the control of the accounts in order to erase whatever debt is owed to the true owners of those accounts. So to the accounts themselves, you know. So not only do we have the I think responsibility as awake, aware, you know, people. Educate people, but also do whatever we possibly can to accelerate and support, you know, those that are out there on the front lines. You know, so
yes. Any updates on Nehlu, Rob?
Yes. Since we were here, we've seen him twice. He looks great. As a matter of fact, he's lost, what is it, 8 kilos.
8 kilos.
8 kilos in the past couple of weeks since the start of Ramadan. He's in great spirits, and things, I don't want to say anything that could jeopardize what's in process, but in the works, but it's
right.
Looking extremely good for his imminent release, you know. So, but he's in great. He looks seizing brave spirits and
Right. Will Nalu play, for the benefit of our new members, will Nalu play a role going forward?
I'm really not the one to answer that, other than the fact that I suspect strongly he's going to continue to be a key member and participant. But, you know, Neil is right here, so for...
Just that we get asked from time to time certain things, you know. So,
right.
Peter, question.
Hi.
I know you touched on it briefly before. Who and what is doing the international illegal arms trading, and with whom?
Well, the list is fairly extensive, but again, this comes back to my particular case, because... part of our case initially was on about massive international fraud and corruption. And part of that, if you remember 9 months ago, are we still online? I've lost you. Oh, you're there,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
Okay. If you remember on the last program 9 months ago, I gave reference to a couple of cabal properties where they call them boiler rooms, where they launder billions, if not trillions of dollars out of every country around the planet. And one of those I gave you was 22 Arlington Street, which is connected to the Ritz Hotel. Just think, people like Tony Blair used to operate through there with their fraudulent and corrupt businesses, and then conveniently go for a coffee in the Ritz through the back door. Now, that particular property also housed a business which had an ex-female ambassador, U.S. ambassador, who had direct dealings with arms manufacturing in America. And a lot of those weapons contained depleted uranium. She was a silent director and has since removed her name off the list of directors of Arlington Associates. But she's very much there now in disguise, the same way as the one I told you about at Berkeley Square, the Cadbury Sweats building, a typical cabal territory. And on the first floor is Lonro, which is, believe it or not, an Australian director, or was till we exposed him, and he's since been kicked out and changed. So, you know, we can make a difference progressively. And that company is still operating under a different captain, if you want to put it that way. They control pretty well all the mining, oil and gas of South Africa, and are absolutely fake as can be. So all this is implicated. So back to the arms things, the ex-US ambassador was friends with Tony Blair, operating these fraudulent and corrupt businesses, ripping off America and British taxpayers in not paying tax, siphoning out billions, if not trillions of dollars per annum, and they also involved in illegal arms dealings. And when we come back to Saddam Hussein was an ally to America, in particular the CIA, and George Bush, or should we say George Scherf, because he's a German anyway. He's never been American, all part of Operation Paperclip, I guess, in the old days. And then we come to the chemical and biological warfare weapons. They were issued. I've got a complete list of what moved from where to whom, all channeled through Saddam Hussein. At the same time, he was using those chemicals on the Kurds in the north, and I know this area extremely well. I've been to Iraq several times as a civilian consultant, and I've shared many a tear with people that have been tortured or have been harmed by these gases. You know this terrible genocide that took place in a village there. And not to mention the Western-derived war who supported Saddam Hussein to go to war for no reason against Iran in the 1980s, which lasted about 8 years. Those same chemical weapons supplied by the UK, supplied by the US, were used on the Iranian troops and the Iranian civilians to a very high death toll.
That was, was that the mustard gas, Peter?
More than that, my friend, VX gas. The most deadly gas on this planet has been manufactured. And my case, incidentally, also brushes past the Dr. David Kelly, that apparently died of suicide when he was also assassinated, because he was part of the deal for the nuclear weapons. He was the expert that received the nuclear weapons and signed them off before the money was released. $17.8 million from that private sector deal, using British taxpayers' money to purchase three illegal weapons from South Africa, who was under a restriction by UN. Even our own Prime Minister, David Cameron, went down there as a young apron string from Maggie Thatcher to sign that deal. He got 17.8 million channeled into the Conservative Party election fund. I've got records of that. It's in Hansard, which is the Bible diary for Houses of Parliament. To this day has never been accounted for. And so you've got all this going on. And I come back to Neil. I've shared time with Neil, good and bad. We come from different areas, but he was attacking the cabal from the top down. I'm hitting the cabal from the bottom up. And as they say, two halves make a whole. Yes. And I've spent time with Neil, which I very much appreciated. And I'm back and I'm in the same rut I was in before, but that's fine, because I've always said you have to do what is rightfully so in your conscience. And if you can recall, I used Gandhi's sayings before: the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. There are times when you have to obey a call, which is the highest of all, the voice of conscience, even though such obedience may cost many a bitter tear, and even more, separation from friends or family, from the very state to which you belong, from all of that you have held so dear to your life. For this is the obedience, this is the law of our being. We have to work with our conscience, and the cabal cannot deal with love, and they cannot deal with conscience. That is your ace card.
Yes, it is. Well said, Peter. I think Rob's dropped. I'll try and get him back shortly. All right. 9/11, Peter.
Oh, boy. Have you got enough hours on the show, Tom?
Well, we can start it. We're about 13 minutes away from the music break, and then we can carry on and after that if you want.
Well, let's just give a little taste buds, little tasters, as I call them, and make statements on this channel, on this radio. The American people are primarily the listeners, and I'm sure some of them are sitting on the edge of their seats, not believing what I'm saying and what Rob's saying and what anybody is saying, and Drake, etc. But this is factual, because the truth will prevail. Unfortunately, a lot of people die for speaking the truth, and a classic example of that, of course, is Phil Schneider, the engineer that worked in the underground ET facility at Area 51, was assassinated soon after he did his disclosure. And there's many more since, including people associated with me, including neighbours of the female spy that my case is involved in. But let's give some of those test buds, those false flags. I'm making a statement on your show to tell you that no commercial airliner hit any building in 9/11. No commercial airliner hit any building. That is the first statement. With regards to 7/7, the London equivalent on a much smaller scale was an inside job. The train was not blown up from explosions associated with the so-called Arab terrorists carrying backpacks onto the train. The trains were blown up from underneath. It was implosions. Yes. And the four terrorists that were named weren't even on the trains when the bombs went off anyway, because when they got to Luton, the train they were due to catch for this exercise that was taking place that same day, which turned into reality, incidentally, they didn't have the train. The train was cancelled. The second train was running late because it was picking up the deluge from the previous cancelled train. And when they got to London, they'd already missed the show. They panicked. They realized they'd become stooges for this masquerade that the cabal had been running. And they hopped across the Thames to Canada Square, not far from the City of London council offices, where they were taken out, assassinated. And it goes on, you know. What's it? Sandy Nook, classic case.
Yeah,
where the military-clad people stormed the building when in actual fact, when you look at the plan and the layout from from the airborne perspective, the building that they raided that was shown on TV wasn't even Sandy Nook. And then you've got the Boston Marathon. Classic, classic, classic. You know, these people are abusing the intelligence of the public now. It's gone past it. And now Malaysian, well, first of all, Malaysian 370 that, you know, I'm in Australia, that apparently trekked all the way down to the southern climes of the Indian Ocean, where it disappeared into the sea by whatever means, is absolute bullshit. The aircraft certainly didn't come down this way, and there's two possibilities. One, it was missiled out of the sky, or, as I believe, and I don't know, I believe both sides, but more realistically, the plane was taken over electronically, like they did with the 9/11 aircraft, because there are alterations made to those aircraft when they're in the hangar on maintenance. Robotic control is possible externally, and I believe that plane ended up in the British-American-run base of Diego Garcia. And then, of course, now Malaysian 17, classic, classic false flag. I think I have sufficient evidence now to prove that. And I have to say that the ex-Prime Minister of long-standing Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, has questioned this, and his legal fraternity and ex-advisor, Matthias Chang, I'm in touch with on a regular basis, has asked me if I would consider being part of a new private investigation team. And by Jove, I'll be up there in a flash.
Sounds interesting. Right. So, it wasn't commercial airliners. It certainly wasn't a fire that brought them down. Do you have information as to how they were brought down and why?
Well, why, of course, is the fact that the entire complex was taken over by Jewish mafia. That took that over, Silverstein, that's correct. Also, that the shopping centre is Westfields, which is also Australian Jewish owned, and you can see, and the security was Jewish, you can see that this whole entire complex was taken over by Zionist, i.e. New World Order operatives, whatever you want to call them, and the fact that all the different securities and bonds were deemed to be surrendered the very next day, and obviously taking the buildings down put pay to that. There was also gold bullion stored in the bowels of the building. Then we come to the fact that, coming back to the aircraft again, that one has to look at it from the aviation perspective, and I am an aviation expert all my life. I've been in military and civil aviation, from carriers through to main airline companies. A very well respected one at that, and to tell you that, for instance, when jet fuel burns, it doesn't burn with the same intensity and colours that are characteristic of something that would resemble a sort of thermonuclear type development. When a thing goes brilliant yellow to brilliant white, for instance, it's
hey, showing, how are you?
Peter's talking.
Okay.
Get to you in a minute.
Yeah, so okay. One has to look at the characteristics of the fire itself, and that reveals something to people. We've also got these how everything was pulverized, which in normal technology is not possible, except to say Drake knows this, that there are weapons out there, Star Wars, et cetera, that can pretty well pulverize anything into infinity. Then you've got the aircraft that allegedly went into the Pentagon and what was going on there. Well, Rumsfeld put his foot in it straight away. He told you that there was an investigation of a couple of trillion dollars gone amiss on Department of Defense contracts, and the very place where that inquiry was taking place was the place that was taken out. And that was taken out by a missile, and to anybody with an ounce of intelligence, you can see that. An airliner cannot do a tight, spiraling, extreme G-force maneuver and then skim across the lawn at 0 feet without stretching it and do that. That is not possible in aviation. And then we come to, of course, Shanksville, the heroic efforts of the so-called passengers on their mobile phones fighting the terrorists to make sure this aircraft did not hit another city, and it came down in the field in Shanksville. My friends, it did not come down at the area that they were showing on television. That was an old dump site. There was a gouge in the earth in the shape of a wing already there because it was like a rubbish tip. The plane, that is the only plane that was taken out by the Dakota Guard, which is a volunteer air force, who happened to not have received the stand-down message given to others. And so they missiled that plane, and it broke up in flight and came down in a wooded area and demolished some priest's house, etc., etc. This is all baloney, my friends. Listen to this. We've been had. Back to you.
Wow. Yes, certainly have. Thanks for that, Peter.
Listen, we've been had.
Oh, yes. Dr. Aidan, welcome.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Yes. Yes. Yes, there's a lot of echo.
Yes, a bit. I think I've got four people running through my line this evening, so it may just reverberate back.
I hear myself twice, and I'm thinking I'm going schizophrenic.
Two Dr. Aidens, that'll be good.
It could always be MK Ultra, of course, Dr. Aidan.
All right, guys, we're having too much of fun.
Right, we're still trying to get Rob back online. He seems to be blocked at the moment.
Yeah.
I'll
turn down my speakers, so...
Right. Another quick question before we go to the top of the hour, Peter. Were energy weapons directed on 9/11, and will disclosure lead to an outing of those technology for the world to use rightfully?
Well, of course, there are, you know, high-tech weapons around. In actual fact, there's one particular weapon that can pretty well eliminate anything to dust already fitted onto a United States vessel. In fact, more than one. That can pretty well pulverize. So one could ask questions, was that involved in the Malaysia 370? Who knows? Or it's the Diego Garcia thing. But yes, perfectly possible. I'm not that technically minded, although I understand everything related to a Star Wars type weaponry and what's on the cards because I keep in touch with it. But I can assure you that aviation jet fuel, Jet A1, does not burn the way that that building burned and certainly wouldn't have brought them down. And then we've got the question where you could see this systematic explosions as normally associated with bringing down a building in conventional way going up on each floor. And the fact that when the firemen and other people did escape the building as they got to the lobby was totally destroyed by some ungodly sized bomb. And yet the aeroplane didn't touch that part of the building. So there's lots and lots of questions. Thomas, I'm getting terrible feedback, so I'll put it back to you.
Yes, it's coming through the doctor's
questions.
Doctor, can you turn your volume down a bit?
Yes, it's coming through the doctor's. Doctor, can you turn your volume down a bit?
Right, it's fully reverberating now. Well, we're at the top of the hour. If all the guests can be quiet for 5 or 10 minutes, we'll have a couple of songs and we'll be back with Dr. Aidan, Peter Eyre, and hopefully we'll get Rob and Neil back on for the final hour. Bye for now.
We'll be back with Dr. Aidan.
Like a statue becomes part of the machine, feeling all the bumpers. seen him fall. That deaf summer blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour. It's a bit like Pinball Wizard in the studio tonight with Peter A, Mr. Neil Keenan, Rob. We managed to get Rob Miller back, and also Dr. Aiden and the man himself, Drake. Right, Dr. Aiden, do you want to give us an update?
Well, I'm still appalled at the fact that articles of impeachment have not been filed on Barack H. Obama.
Nice.
For not doing his job. I wrote an email to Bill O'Reilly. And yesterday or day before yesterday, there were some rumblings.
Nice.
But this is a perfect time to impeach. I call him the Shiite in the White House because he's going for Iraq's help.
Yeah.
So that's the only update I have as far as the politics is concerned, because you got an incompetent sitting in the White House. Then you got his attorney general coming up with a statement that says, essentially says, anytime you go against a president, you're animated or you're, you know, there is racial animus.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether, you know, you're an eight-footer, whether you're of medium height. It doesn't matter. The color of your skin, it doesn't matter. Your ethnic background. Are you doing your job, as our brother Drake put it?
Yes.
You're not doing your job. You should either step down or face impeachment. As simple as that.
Yes, I agree.
You know?
Yes, I 100% agree. Well, this is encouraging to me. I've been involved in the research for a long time. And this show is kind of the pinnacle, really. We've had some big guests on recently. But it's kind of fantastic for me and all the listeners out there to see and or hear so many people who are willing to get off the backsides and do something and get this done. And, you know, we ask of the members is to support it. I know some people get a bit angsty at times, and it's gone on. But you have to realise what we're facing here. This is a behemoth that's been going on over a very prolonged period of time, longer than people realise or most people realise, and they're not brought down in 2 weeks or 2 months. It does take time, but we're getting to the crux of things now with the help of Neil, Dr. Aiden, Peter with his stuff and the stuff that Drake's doing, and it's encouraging that we're all on the same page, and that's important going forward. Rob, are you there? I don't know whether he's dropped again. Rob, are you still with us, Rob? Maybe not.
Do you want me to fill in for a little minute till he comes back online? I want you to say something, Thomas.
Yes.
as usual, my phone goes at the wrong time. Just a minute. You carry on talking.
Hello? Right. Drake.
Hello.
Drake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know where everybody else went.
All right.
I'm back.
Question for you. Do you see the BRICS negotiations coming to fruition as a trigger point for many other events, such as the no-fly accord, collapse of the Western fiat currency, and the mass arrests?
Yeah, it's the beginning to a whole bunch of that. See, this is the part everybody misses. It takes a combination of coordinated effort by a whole load of people, not just one or two Z like you're seeing on the shows and whatnot, but a whole load of people. And in that, under that, you have to understand that the limitations we're up against are not something that anybody can do anything about. In basic, you set some things in motion, and the culmination of those is what everybody's looking for. But it ain't going to be tonight or tomorrow. It's probably going to be at least next week or later. So you have to look at those things and understand that you get on a chessboard, you get the pieces in the right position, and then you drop the hammer. That's what we're doing. Okay?
Right. Can you guys hear me now?
Hi, Rob.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
All right, so you can... All right.
What was that,
so,
a vacation?
No.
No,
not at all. We're on the job 24/7. We were just... we've been experiencing some technical difficulties here.
Yes.
You know, so...
well, maybe you can answer this question. There's two questions about an interview Michael Henry Dunn gave to Kerry Cassidy recently.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at with Michael? And will he be working with us again in the future?
I believe that, well, first of all, I think he did a beautiful job during the interview and clarified some things for Kerry in terms of the man, you know, Neil.
Yes.
And Neil and I have spoken about that, you know, fairly in depth. And there's absolutely nothing but... you know, friendship between these guys. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Neil, listening to what I'm saying, he said that he, since the interview, he has spoken to Michael. And, yeah, you know, this process of everyone coming from different directions, you know, Peter, you know, mentioned this earlier, that, you know, everybody has their own expertise, you know, but also their own background. And so we're all meeting essentially in the same place, but we do have different backgrounds, we have different upbringings and personalities, you know, so
and roles,
and roles to play, and you know, and there's this, you know, there's a famous poems about seasons. Everything has a season, a time, a place, and I think it works that way in relationships too. And not to say that things circle back too.
Yes, I agree. Peter, Michael Dunn confessed to be a Knight Templar. Now, maybe could you give us a brief history of the Knights Templar? Because a lot of people are under the idea that the Knights Templar are not good.
Oh, boy. first of all, I've met many people of that standing, Knights of Malta, etc., etc. And I've got mixed feelings about this. It's like in every walk of life, even within the intel agencies. As you know, I worked in intel in NATO and did that sort of activity, which wasn't pleasing for me. But I have seen since then, as a civilian and moving around the world and getting involved in Gaza and all this other crap, that there's good and bad on both sides. And obviously, as we speak. We're being monitored by Mossad, CIA, MI5, you name it. But within those organizations are still human beings. There are people in there that have family and children. And it's very, very hard to differentiate one from the other. But I've been with them and I've seen both sides. In the same way, I've seen a junior Freemason as a member of a church who came across pretty squeaky clean, but I can't guarantee that. But then as you move up the ladder, of course, it becomes evil and satanic. So the Knights Templar, well, we have to go back to the Crusades and the Magna Carta, because the very basis of this organization is temple, is orientated around Temple Church, which was where they met all those years ago. And the Magna Carta goes back to 1112 or whatever. And, of course, these Crusades... were Knights Templar, and my own family, there was I had seven knights in my historical line in the archive side of my family tree, and all that's gone since the civil war between the Catholics and the Roundheads, Oliver Cromwell, blah blah blah. So primarily I would have deep concerns, normally deep concerns about anybody associated with the Illuminati, anybody associated with Knights Templar, and of course the close association with the Freemasons. And in I've also been approached by other people, very senior, that have said, Peter, come on board, you know, because your background, your ancestral tree were part and parcel of that order that went to the Holy Land. And of course, a lot of people don't know that the last crusade actually wasn't in the Holy Land at all. It was in the Baltic states. That last pagan country to drop was the Baltic states, in particular Lithuania. So all this is under the carpet now in history. So, yes, I would be extremely cautious, because even within, as we speak now, within our own structure, there will be infiltrations from the Secret Service. I'm not going to go in fine detail at that, yeah. But I can assure you that within... there will be good and bad. And I've worked with people in the CIA. I've worked with people in Mossad. And some are good, some are bad. That doesn't answer the question, but for God's sake, never think for one minute that any organization, including ours, is free of them, in the same way as no charity is squeaky clean. Most charities are run by the cabal anyway.
Yes, I agree. If not all of them.
I just want to close on 9/11, because there was one important factor I wanted to close on, and that was that the American public don't know that I think it was the New Jersey police arrested six operatives, or maybe eight, of Israeli citizens around
the bridge.
Absolutely, around Ground Zero, directly associated with that. They were also linked to the so-called Islamic jihadists dancing on the roof in full regalia, which was the Israelis. And I know who those people were. I know that some of them were Mossad. I've got pictures of them, and they appeared on Israeli television. They are directly linked, direct perpetrators of 9/11, and not some out of this, out of the sky Islamic group.
Yeah.
There is no terrorism in the world. Please understand this.
Yes.
Al-Qaeda is CIA. Yeah. The Taliban was ally to America and were wined and dined in Houston, and I've got pictures to prove that. But because they didn't sign the Tappy Pipeline Agreement with Bush's family, etc., they then became the enemy. But we trained them. We're part of them. And it goes on. The enemy within is our own government. It's the CIA, the Mossads, and MI5, who are all right on the back of horrendous crimes, war crimes, fraud at an unbelievable level, and of course, genocide and wars.
Yeah. Those Israelis had some sort of a warehouse in New York that they quickly emptied on that day.
Well, they got traces of explosives in the vehicle that the police captured. They held them for, I think, 75 hours and then were forced to release them and deport them back to Israel. My God, you know, the authorities, you people in America have got to wake up and start a new inquiry into 9/11, because this was the biggest scam of all.
Yes.
Well, it's happening, Peter. And it's happening from the people that were directly affected too. You know, there's associations of firefighters that you know, absolutely know that it wasn't 19 you know, Islamist radicals with box cutters that brought the towers down. You know,
yeah.
But the families that have demanded a you know, a it's coming from it's being, they're surrounded now because there's just too many people that do know the truth. You don't hear about it so much because there's such a control on the mainstream media, but I think on a daily basis just more and more people, you know, are realizing that not just 9/11 but just about everything the government tells you is, you know, a lie designed in order to keep you from screwing up the clockworks, you know.
Yeah, and I think, regarding the media, the reports of issues like 9/11 and other false flag and other conspiracies, if you like, particularly coming from broadsheets like the Telegraph and the Guardian, it seems to me like there's some sort of a breakaway on the media, particularly in the UK. Hopefully that will continue and come across the pond.
Well, Thomas, you know Building 7 is a classic cause to reopen. Can I just say that somebody's not taking care with their microphone? We're getting a lot of disturbance from somebody's microphone. Just be careful with that if it's rubbing up against your shirt or whatever, please. But back to Building 7, if you remember, the CNN and BBC made a classic movie when they were showing that, or made the announcement that Building 7 had collapsed, when in the background of the shot, Building 7 was very much alive. But I'd like to throw something back maybe to get Dr. Aidan on board, because I have, whilst I was helping Neil in Jakarta, I was with him for 3 weeks, and at that time I was speaking to some of his legal fraternity, and I personally have filed war crimes against Bush and Blair in the Kuala Lumpur war crimes, for which both are found guilty. I also gave evidence to the same thing in Tokyo, where my information was provided. And for Dr. Aidan's benefit, I now have a massive, massive war crimes file, a legal document completed to high academic level that would be could not fail in a true court of law, but the court is controlled by the cabal. So what I'm trying to say to Dr. Aidan is that he's the legal beaver himself, that we could bring this file out. It would need minor modifications, but it's ready to go. And this would indict every president and prime minister involved in all the wars since the Balkan Wars in the 90s and the use of depleted uranium and real nuclear weapons that were dropped in Iraq and Afghanistan, for which I've got evidence, and the chemical and biological warfare. This is concrete forensic evidence. Dr. Aidan, we could file this.
Yes.
And this would not only enhance the no-fly that Neil's trying to do, but we can put these people on trial in absentia in every country we want to fall on board with.
In fact, I am of the opinion for years that the blame not just falls on the cabal, the cabalists, or the cabalists, or the oligarch. It's the people. People do nothing. And it is the power of the people, not just to stand like an idiot and vote, but the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says the right of the people peaceably to assemble. It doesn't say peacefully. Peaceably. Right there is your citizens' arrest power. And then it goes on in the Second Amendment. It goes on in the Seventh Amendment. And it goes on in the Ninth Amendment, reminding the people that we should and can do something. So with what you have, Mr. I, will find you what you have and hit these idiots so hard that they should not be able to get up. They are going to be arrested. They're going to be charged. They're going to be arraigned. Then they're going to be tried, and they can bring their best lawyers. Our prisons will be guarded by thousands of trained personnel because we are not going to kowtow to their military force or to their police or to the FBI, the MOD, the MAD, the DOG, none of that. When we strike, it will be a telling blow. And to hell with this CNN and Fox News and Fox News and all this murder news, M-E-R-D-A, Latin for excrement, of course. So they can all go to hell because this hearing is going to be held on worldwide media. I want the whole world to see, like they saw the trials of Nuremberg or the Adolf Eichmann trial. The whole world will watch how justice is going to be meted out. And
that's wonderful, because
the Constitution, the interpretation of the Constitution by the nine unelected idiots sitting in the Supreme Court, they mean nothing. Hugo Black, Justice Hugo Black, put it beautifully. The layman's constitutional view is that what he likes is constitutional, and that which he doesn't like is unconstitutional. So people don't understand the power they have in the written word, the Constitution. Bush at one point said, it's rubbish, you know, it's a useless piece of paper. Well, he's not an intellectual, so, you know, when people mental midgets make stupid statements, you know, we just brush them aside.
Yes.
You know, we don't waste our time with them. We just say, oh, well, okay, all right, you know. So now we have something in place. We've got a team. We've got a solid team. And the vitamin M, the financing, will come. I'm privy to some information and some intel. Of course, I'm not going to talk about it, but it will come. But as the Cherokee Indians will say, NATO, it's enough. We have had enough of murder, M-E-R-D-A,
yeah.
Latin for excrement. Okay, from now on, no more murder. All right? It's time for action. Not reaction, it's time for action and interaction. We don't react. We are not reactionaries. So, again, that's where we are.
All right, thanks for that, Doctor. Drake?
I got some news for you that I think everybody's going to like. Just got it. This is interesting. I've been hearing rumors that NATO's been in trouble. There's been disagreements among different members and all that. And apparently, and this has happened 2 seconds ago, Germany has aligned themselves with the BRICS and is ready to leave NATO.
Wow.
Now, wow. You want to play balance of powers and domino games and all that happy crap, you can, but what I'm stipulating here is high-level information that it ain't going to hit the news until, if it does, until maybe next week or something. As I'm getting it to go along with it, France ain't exactly happy either. Now, you've only got
two financial powers that are doing anything of consequence in the European Union. That's Germany and France. If they leave, the EU is pretty much a fried turkey. NATO also, because they're losing they're going to lose the support of these people simply through the corruption on the financial end. So Germany's for real. And the same rumor I've heard that France is also considering throwing in with the BRICS and leaving NATO.
I'm experiencing some technical difficulty. Is that?
Yes, we all are.
For everyone else? Okay.
I hear it.
Drake?
Yeah.
It's like reverberating back. Right. I think that's stopped now.
It's a time lapse problem.
Yeah. The sound bite.
Right. Okay.
Yes, it's a time lapse problem.
Oh, it's still there. Let's go into. Where are we? We'll have a short song and see if that clears it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back. And no, Cabal, we won't back down. You can mess around with the radio show, but right. Your days are numbered. Peter, Rob, Dr.
Yes.
Aiden, you all there?
Yeah, Peter's here.
All right, okay.
Rob is online.
We call these guys the fan club, and I addressed a couple of them by name once. and they really got upset about that.
Yes, we had 2-1 before Drake. They've gone off now. The 1-1-1 numbers. on we go.
You know, Thomas, I should mention. Yeah. Neil has left the room to take a call from the family. Okay, so.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there. Okay. Yeah, there's been constant communication, and they're very interested and excited as to what's happening.
Good.
And again, too, you know, this when I was offline, I don't know whether or not this was covered, but this military policy change in Japan.
Right.
Was that discussed or was that mentioned?
Not really.
I mentioned that they were going to come after the collateral accounts, that was the idea behind it.
Well, one of the things that Neil did mention before he left the room was, you know, Rob, you know, one of the things that we do need to make sure is mentioned is that this is a significant thing because with what's happening all over the world, you know, with insurgencies and, you know, even with what's happened in the Ukraine with the plane crash, the cabal is desperate to get their hands on the accounts. And if you look at the isolated incidents that this this change in policy the blessing from the U.S. government, you know, to allow the Japanese military to leave the mainland, you can see it almost as a sleight of hand trick, all the other distractions taking place so that the Western cabal, and make no mistake, Japan is... is part of the West.
They're the only one left, really, in Asia.
Yeah, and then look at the disputes that have been happening in the South China Sea over territorial, you know, land and water rights. And so the, you know, the present events seem, you know, have a tendency to cast a shadow to future events. And what Neil wants to make very clear is that we're living in a time where very easily, or what's being set up is for the cabal to come right here and get their hands on the assets. So. He wanted me to reiterate that and make sure that that is put out.
May I jump in, if you don't mind, gentlemen?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
How are you, my friend?
Yes, very good. Very good,
now,
doctor.
Now, any and all action that's going to be taken through the usual satanic court system, excuse me, is not going to work. Because all these organizations are protected by the International Organization Immunities Act of December 1945. You remember that?
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
Remember the last time you and I spoke with Neil, I was giving you a heads up on this. Now, the collateral accounts and the global accounts, I really don't know what's going on there, but I know this for a fact. The World Global Settlements account is being used by Obama and Joseph Ackerman of Deutsche Bank to enter into a multi-private placement program deal.
Which is generating
trillions simply because they call it a Section 201 war loss under the International Organizations Immunities Act. So they will start a war. And then they will say, oh, we need to do this because Section 201 allows us to use a claim for credit or refund as a reparation to a war loss under Section 201 of the Act. So all this is tied up
in so many Gordian knots that you need to, that you need 10 Herculean type figures to sort it out. And the answer lies with the people, the force 279, Second Amendment, Seventh Amendment, and the Ninth Amendment. So it's not so much, because nobody really knows, maybe Neil does, as to what's really happening with the global accounts or the collateral accounts. Maybe they don't want to touch it because everybody's eyes are on it. But I know this for a fact, that the World Global Settlements account is being used by Obama and Joseph Ackerman, because $47 trillion is supposed to be dispersed to 140 nations. And he told The Hague, the World Court of The Hague, on 28 July 2011, I told you this, that he would not sign off on the World Global Settlement Funds. Why would he sign off? Because Joseph Ackerman of Deutsche Bank is using it over and over and over again. Because
there's another little part.
They're going into new precious metal backed international currencies. So what do they do?
They're trying to. They're trying to. This is the whole. This is the whole Karen Huter's thing that she's trying to run through the World Bank, the BIS, and IMF. They're trying to replenish the Western war machine.
There's a guy called a Pasadena, California attorney called Al Clifton Hodges. You can get him to talk. He will tell you stuff that will make Billy Goats puke. I'm telling you, man.
Tom, can I come in a minute, please?
Yes.
Back by precious metals. That's all there is to it.
Yes. Peter?
Yeah, I just want to throw into the equation here with my extensive studies overnight about Malaysian flight that was tragically brought down by a missile. I'm sure everyone out there and the people participating in the program must realize the implications of this latest tragedy or false flag, which I'm now convinced and can prove, that they are, the West is directly blaming Russia for missiling or providing the missile that took down these aircraft. This almost is on the verge of an act of war. And right. Dr. Aidan and Rob knows, and certainly Drake knows, that the way round of clearing your debt and putting your country back into prosperity is to go for World War III. And this is the closest we have come to this actually taking effect. Desperate men do desperate things. The New World Order is fading out, and we're on the brink of this. And for God's sake, America, don't let this incident of Malaysian 17 brainwash you into believing an action must be taken to support Ukraine against Russia. This
just
is dangerous
stuff. Just
because
it happens in Ukraine, yes.
Yeah, and Doctor, I want to ask you, because of my knowledge of also of common law, that my court case is predominantly common law. I challenged the judge. I called the judge a liar to her face. I've exposed her. I wanted to take criminal charges against her. The public must understand that common law is still the paramount law, certainly of England and of the U.S., and statute law, quote, is not law at all. It is a regulation, and statute law cannot come into being unless it complements common law.
Correct. That's what Lord Denning said. Common law, common law is the iron that wrinkles out the that irons out the wrinkles in the fabric of statutory law.
The sad thing is, Dr. Aidan, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, having spent 5 years in and out of the axis of evil at the Royal Courts of Justice and the three associated inns, the Grey Inn, Lincoln Inn, and Middle Court, which I've been privy to, and had coffee there many, many times, and the air on the back of my neck stood up, you know, and I know that every member of the bar swears an oath to the Crown Temple, not to the Crown as in Queen, but into the Crown Temple. That's it. They control.
On the 28th dinner. Yes, yes.
Absolutely. But back to you anyway, Thomas. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Rob? Do you want to chime in on this? Have we lost Rob again? Yes.
Maybe Neil has come back to the room.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, okay. Okay, Elvis has come back into the room.
All right.
Okay.
One of the things I want to stipulate here with the situations is that Russia is watching very carefully and being very careful. The Ukraine military has already promulgated an act of war by shelling Russian territory. Then to go the other step further, anything that Japan decides to play games with is going to be answered by China. So they're stalemated if they wish to contain things and not be destroyed in the process. Now, what I'm going to try to offer through my blog, it covers 60-some foreign countries, for those who don't know. And what I'm going to try to accomplish is that we go after individuals, and we would appreciate some assistance with that. And we're going to see. I'm going to see how far that goes just on that request. Last time it did some good, so we'll see what happens. All right?
Yes.
Yep.
We've had offers of that already, Drake.
Okay. Well, I need to see something and be put in touch in such a manner that things can be put in motion. All of the horse hockey and bullshit's been going on way too long.
Yes.
I have tried just about every way I know of to make sure that things happen in a certain manner so that nobody has to deal with the too serious possibilities. And even though everything that I did was correct and worked to an extent, none of it's come to the fruition of direct contact, which I'm offering through the show, direct contact in terms of under the covers. And I do know that there are agents from both countries here, and they are welcome to contact me. We'll work out private communications as it goes. But these things need to be accomplished. This can be a part of the enforcement arm of wrongs that have been committed internationally, among other things. So that's basically all I wanted to add. Okay?
Yep. Rob? I don't know whether this question was for Neil, but we'll see if you'll be able to answer this question. It's about the elders acting as the owners of the accounts. The guy, can you tell the difference to our listeners between Sukarno and Sukanto? They seem to be the two names are very, very similar.
Yes.
Which one is on our side and which one is the folk?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We are having some technical difficulties where the only way that you can hear me is if I plug in my headphones, whereas before the system was functioning, you know, so that...
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let me just disconnect one more time to see whether or not you can hear Neil explain in the background. Otherwise, I'll have to translate, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
What a lovely day for a war, Tom.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to either... translate or put Neil on directly here, but what it's conveying is that Sukarno was the first and only M1. Can you actually hear?
Yes.
There you go.
You knew you'd get me, didn't you?
Yes.
You knew you'd get me sooner or later, huh? So you had to ask that question.
Yes, I did.
You know, the doctor's over there. He can answer that question. Listen, Lord, Takano was the first and only M1. He's the only elected M1. Okay, and in the history of the global accounts, everyone else has been appointed. For example, Mark, she's appointed. He's never elected, so he was never M1. He was never in charge of the accounts in that case, other than the fact that the West appointed him. Nothing to do with the East. On the other hand, you got the Sicano Trust, and under the Sicano Trust, you got Eddie Sino Sicanto.
Yeah.
Okay, that's who you're talking about, I believe. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
And Eddie Sino is the son of Jawahir, and his mother is Serena Satiwi, who was very famous over here, and so was his father, who was the right-hand man of Sicano. So the trust was set up, the Sicano Trust, under the Sicano umbrella, and Eddie's father was the head of the Sicano Trust. And finally it got down to Eddie himself, who allowed his mandate to expire in 1995 or 1997 or whatever, and without ever using or attempting to use the assets that he had. But to be perfectly frank with everyone, it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're the elder, this elder or that elder or this elder, they've all gone at one time or another and tried to cash in their notes, which don't belong to them. They belong to the depositors. And the depositors in this case, in most cases, 85% of the cases, it happens to be the Dragon family. As Karen Hooters said, 85% of the World Bank is the Dragon family. She said that before, if you remember. And then she said 85% of the accounts are the Dragon family, which, you know, she forgets what she says sometimes, and then she goes back, and then she jumps the boat like a little flea going back and forth. But nevertheless, that's who Eddie Sito Sicanto is. He was the head of the Sicano Trust. His mandate has expired. He doesn't have that strength any longer.
That's okay.
You know, as a matter of fact, that umbrella should be dead. Underneath it, all those elders and the conveyance and everything else. I mean, they've done their job. They've watched the notes. They've protected the assets for 80 years, 70 years, and they all deserve something. And many of them have already taken what they deserve or more by working with George Soros or Richard Armitage or someone else. But just so you know, 10 of them are coming in here today to see me.
Cool.
You know, so you picked the right time to ask the question with 10 of them on their way. You know. Now, Tomas, I keep going back and forth to the room to see if they've called yet. But I did speak to the family, and I am allowed to. I don't know if this has been mentioned yet or not, but I am allowed to mention that after speaking to them, because they've told me that Germany is now right in the process right now at this moment of officially becoming a member of. First of all, they're leaving NATO, and officially becoming a member of BRICS, and also. France is on the table next.
Cool.
So it seems like the house of cards is falling down. Nobody wants to play with the Zionists any longer. We're going to take their cards from them so they can't play.
Very good.
Okay, a lot of shit's going on. A lot of shit's going on this morning over here, you know.
Yes, hidden rumors. Merkel has kind of stepped down recently in the last 48 hours as well. There's rumors of that.
Well,
maybe that
been
was
a lot of private. I've been quiet myself. There's a lot of private meetings going on in Beijing right now.
Good.
You know, there's a lot of quiet meetings, and there's a lot of things happening. And, you know, Obama more or less put his foot in his mouth and probably other things as well. But, you know, it's over with. They picked the wrong Manchurian candidate to run their ballgame.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I mean, he's just one big error. Am I right, Doctor? Dr. Hayden, can you hear me?
Yes.
Dr. Hayden?
Yeah, hello. Yes.
My friend, am I right? They picked the wrong boy, huh?
Well, they picked the wrong team.
Yes.
We can't do this
really
alone. We need to do this as a team.
Yeah.
No, you I'm talking about
Obama. Obama, Dr. Hayden. They picked the wrong guy.
The Shiite in the White House. Yeah.
Hey, listen, but he's got a lot of toilet paper for that Shiite.
Well, I'm telling you. I'm
and it's not shaman.
Yeah.
Right. Where are we now?
Okay, let me give you back to Robbie. You asked me the question. That was an easy question because I'm probably going to see Eddie Sino over the weekend.
Right.
It's funny. He popped up.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, Sakano was the person basically who created the trust. He was the only M1. He placed his assets into the hands of the assets that were granted to him or given to him to hold. He placed them into various accounts and various sultans throughout the Indonesian region. And they're still sitting there, many of them.
It when Kennedy was killed.
Mm. No, who?
Sukarno. Mandate. I think he lost it when Kennedy was assassinated.
No, he did. No, he didn't lose the M1 mandate. He couldn't because he was elected. The West couldn't take it from him. But what happened was that they put him under house arrest, and that's how he died. He died under house arrest. And after that, they named Marcos as their M1. I mean, you've got other people claiming that they were named M1, like Ray Dam and so on, and that never happened either. But it never happened, actually, for Marcos either. He was an appointed M1. He was not an elected M1. Elected M1 means the world has to elect you, like they did with Sukarno.
Right.
And the assets and the deposits are not from the West. Most, 85%, as we know, is from the Dragon family. So you know, all this World Bank stuff right now that you're hearing, you know, the World Bank is a dilapidated old jalopy right now. They're falling apart at the seams. They got Karen Hootis out there hollering for them. She's running around with a guy that drinks all the time in the Philippines and can't pay his bar bill. And, you know, and he also likes those little children, which isn't nice to talk about.
Right.
But the bottom line is he has documents that everybody in the Philippines has. His are fake, and so are the others. And he's claiming he's got control of the global accounts. Now, you know, that's what Karen brings to the table. And Karen herself has brought herself to the table on many an occasion. And as you already know, she hasn't proven to be credible even one time.
We published the emails she sent on World Bank paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that.
I have all the
notes that she sent out to all the embassies.
Right.
And I mean, and she's winging it all over the place. She's got Bolivia in there. Bolivia's out there saying we've got to get rid of the old world order and we have to create our own new world order. But yet she's sending them letters in behalf of herself representing the World Bank. This guy Wolfgang Strunk,
yeah.
who really might not be. I don't know what he is. Okay. I know the people that know him.
Yeah.
And he tried to attach himself to my case in New York. I mean,
right.
He was thrown out by the judge, you know? I mean, come on. The guy's all over the place. He's been all over the place for 30 years. He's been at the bottom of a barrel, the bottom of a glass. and all of a sudden now he's coming up with Karen. Karen found something down there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't find crayfish because he's a scum-sucking bottom dweller, you know?
Right. Unfortunately, I think most of our listeners would like to go on for another few hours, and I'm sure we could, but restrictions on blog talk only allows us 3 hours. We've only got 2 minutes left. I want to say...
Let me give you back to Rob so he can say goodbye.
Thanks, Neil, for that. Rob?
Okay. Sorry I ranted.
Oh, you're okay. Rob, do you want to say something quick before we end?
Okay, guys. I just got past the baton here with the headset, so. You know, you have to be able to improvise, you know?
Yeah. You do.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Rob, for taking the time. I know it's early there. Peter. Do you want to say something quick?
Yes, very quick. I know you've run out of time. I just want to correct a couple of the learned gentlemen, my old buddy, Neil, and Dr. Aidan. You gave reference there to the rebel army in Iraq and about Obama being a Shiite-backed. Please understand this is a misconception. The enemy in Iraq is currently The Sunni are behind this, and the Sunni are backed by the West and also by Saudi. I am a Middle East expert. I can assure you that that comment was a little bit over the top.
Perhaps it was just the term Shiite.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, Shiite as in toilets, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
No, thank
you,
Peter,
for listening to me.
Drake,
bye-bye.
Drake, do you want to have your quick say? We've only got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, how about we get her done?
Right, I'm sure you all enjoyed that show. Thanks to Drake for the information he gave out. Special thanks to Peter, excuse me, to Rob, to Dr. Aidan. Do you want to say, I nearly forgot you there, Doctor. Do you want to say bye?
Thank you. But we'll talk about the Shiite
next week
identity in another time. We don't have time.
Right. My name's Thomas Williams. We'll be back next week. Thank you for joining us. Bye for now.
I was there in the winter of 64 when we camped in the ice at Nashville's dome. 300 miles our trail had led. We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. I died with a grape shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace, for every fallen son. Set my spirit free, let me lay down my gun. Sweet Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired. In June of 1944, I waited in the blood of Omaha's shores. 21 and scared to death, my heart pounding in my chest. I almost made the first sea wall when my friends turned and saw me fall. I still smell the smoke, I can taste the mud as I lay there dying from a loss of blood. Sweet mother. Sweet Mother Mary, we're so tired, but we can't come home.
No, we can't come home.